Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Afternoon, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We are live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and you can listen to us live on your radio or GodIsTheCure.com, or later you can listen to the recorded shows via podcast. I'm also joined by Dr. Boris Nikolov, who is my partner at work and in life. This show deals with suffering and the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that they're not alone. And in this show, the testimony started with me. Having been a survivor from child abuse into young adulthood, we all have professionals in the medical field and inspirational speakers that are willing to help and give valuable information, because education is key, transparency is needed, and I believe we can help each other. As for me, my healing came from God, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be challenging, but we're not alone. And I'd like to start off with encouraging words. I'm tired. I'm just tired of asking why. Why do I have to go through this kind of pain? Why do I feel like I'm lost and in despair? Why? Then I woke up one day, feeling tired because of so many questions in mind. I realized that it does me no good. And every time I think of it, I find myself living in misery. So I decided to stop. I stopped asking why. Instead, I chose to surrender my life and allow God to take over, because I know I can't do it with my own strength. I know I'm nothing without Him. One day, all my questions will fade away, and God will replace it with wonderful blessings, something that I can never comprehend, something that will bless His glorious name. I may not see it now, but I know it will happen according to His plans, according to His perfect timing. If you also feel the same way, maybe God just wants to remind you it's not about the answer, but it's about trusting the one who holds your future. It's not about knowing what will happen, but it's about the one who will hold you until the end. It's not about knowing where to go, but it's about believing that God will always lead you. It's not about success, but it's about the reason why you made it. And it's not because of your own effort, nor because of your own skills and abilities. It's about the grace of God, who never fails to sustain you. It's about His great faithfulness that always secures you. It's about His love that never fails to embrace you. Everything in this life is about Him. We live and breathe because of Him. And this journey will come to waste if we don't spend it with Him. I wanted to give you those words of encouragement because those are the words that really move me and help me. But in today's show, we're going to talk about how to move forward despite the suffering that you may have endured. And today, we have a very special guest, Lisa Sarcone, a survivor, to offer us some strategies. Lisa is a wife, mother of three, grandmother of three. Lisa took all of her past experiences of her personal trauma and abuse and wrote a detailed memoir of her life. She shares her story through the eyes of a child, hers. This is a special way that she can give back to others and help to hopefully promote healing. Lisa gained her voice, and by validating her story, she healed through the process. Lisa is the everyday woman with an extraordinary gift for giving and is full of compassion. She has worked with disabled children and adults teaching life skills and writing, and served as a mentor to young women in a lockdown facility. Her ability to survive as well as thrive from her silent world of treasury truly is an incredible journey filled with such inspiration and never-ending hope. Lisa is the author of The Unspoken Truth, a memoir. Lisa, thank you for being with us today.
Hi, Amy. How you doing?
Lisa, tell us a little bit about The Unspoken Truth. What do you mean about The Unspoken Truth? And maybe we can talk about broken relationships.
Yes, The Unspoken Truth. When I decided to write my story, I wanted it to be, of course, viewed through the eyes of a child because I felt that was the best way to get my story out there and to help others. But the unspoken truth, those words, is that silence that we live with, that silence that, you know, as we're going through these awful experiences, we keep it silent to ourselves. And as we grow on into adulthood, if we don't express it and work through it, it stays silent. And that silence eats you up alive inside. And that is one of the biggest reasons why I named my story The Unspoken Truth, because I was that silent child. And it took me years to be able to say the words out loud. And I speak about that quite often, about breaking the silence. And that is when the true healing can begin.
Yes, you've learned some. I've read some amazing articles that you've written. You're a very talented writer.
Thank you.
You know, one of the articles that really impressed me was Shedding Your Mask, because I know that if you keep silent, it only eats you up alive inside, and it comes out in your behavior. You get depressed, you make bad choices, and you don't know why. And we don't realize that we can be there for each other, and actually coming to terms with it, either writing it down or sharing it with others and even helping others, could be extremely healing for us.
Yes, and you know, I tell people a lot when we speak about these things that if you can't verbalize it, you have to start somewhere. So start by writing it down, because those masks that you're wearing to cover up all that pain and suffering and even shame, I mean, you know, when someone is abused, it's obviously not their fault, but they still feel that shame, and that's another mask. And you know, as time goes on and you can't say those words, I encourage people, start by writing it down. And then after you write it down, read it to yourself. And then take that next bold step and read it out loud. Hear the words. And when you hear those words and you feel those words, that's when you can start to change and work through it. And it is painful. It's painstaking. It you know, it hurts. But the end result is freedom. It's personal freedom. And when those masks drop to the floor, your true self, your true beauty is what shines.
I think that's what you meant by let it flow. And it's true.
Yeah.
And it's true. And that's the important thing that we need to come to terms with. It's important to know that, you know, there is a God. And He is there for us. And even though we may go through very dark moments in our lives, like I had, I know what it's like not to have God in your life. I know what it's like to feel miserable, hate every living moment, become suicidal. I mean, the devil can do a really big number on you when you're not close to God.
Yes, this is true. And you know, and I talk a lot about this in my book, throughout my story. And I start as a young age. I'm 6 years old. And I make my way on up to adulthood. But I always talk about my never-ending faith. And that is what saw me through. And it still sees me through, because life is challenging, and we all do go through these dark times. And many times, what do we say? Why does God do this to us? Why? You know, but I think you touched upon that when you were reading your, you know, in the beginning when you read your little passage there, which was phenomenal. I really, I connect to that, because we have to embrace the journey. And that is my motto, and I say it all the time, embrace the journey, because We don't know what life is going to give us, and it's all about learning and connecting and keeping that inner faith strong, and it's hard to do.
Yes, I know that. I mean, it was from getting to a dark place to noticing the light, and that was amazing. I know that for me, I was in a dark place for many years because I had a lot of problems. I had custody battles. There was always something. There was always a problem. Something was always going on. So I didn't really focus on me, on helping myself, on loving me, on forgiving myself, until I realized that I had to take God seriously. And it all started with prayer. Praying, starting prayer every day in the morning. And believe it or not, just like that song, Amazing Grace, my eyes were opened. It's real. God does open your eyes.
It does, absolutely.
Yes.
I pray every single day. Every day I pray myself. And it is what encourages us.
And that's how I found the light. And that's how I know that most people found the light. But for those that are just tuning in, I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back to the show. For those that are just tuning in, I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We are joined by Lisa Sircone, a special guest, and we're talking about how to overcome difficulties. You really give a world of information that I wanted to share with our listeners. Can you expand on the predator stance, top words, control, trigger warning?
Oh, yes. I always put trigger warning because some of the things I do write about are, you know, dark and deep. And if somebody is not in a place where they're, you know, able to read these things and be able to understand, that's the wrong word, I guess, to take it in and be okay with it, I always put trigger warning because it could trigger people into a negative, you know, feeling and thought. So I do put trigger warning. But yeah, the predator's dance, you know, and that's the predator is the abuser. And that abuser does certain things to groom the one that they are preying upon. And whether it be a young child or a teen or even an adult, you know, the predator is very smart. And I always call them the sly fox because they're very witty about what they do and how they claim their victims one by one. And they're very calculating. So I did write that piece because I want people, again, to be aware. You know, you might not even realize at the time that this was happening, and then all of a sudden you're in this awful situation and you're trying to figure out how to get out of it. And, of course, especially for children, because I am, you know, a child advocate, you know, as far as children are concerned, they are the innocent victims. They don't know any better. They're being groomed, and they're not even understanding what that means. So that's a very powerful piece, and it's a very important one, and I share it quite often. And I do love my blogs because I feel like I'm putting really good information out there for people to read.
I love them, too. And the predator is usually somebody that is everybody loves, that is very nice. My stepfather's a doctor, pediatrician, imagine that. And he's the one that sexually abused me for about 8 years. But nobody would have ever guessed. In fact, my mother still doesn't believe me. And that's what we're going to talk about in the following segments, is forgiveness.
Yeah.
And
to go back to the predator, I was just going to say one other thing, is that 9 times out of 10, the predator is somebody you know, both family, friend, could be a parent, could be a sibling, step-parents, as in your case. It's a very... It's very prominent. It's not usually the stranger danger. It is somebody that you know, and a lot of times people, like you said, love and would never expect it.
And if you haven't educated the kid does not know to say anything. And so maybe we can look for certain signs and symptoms. If the kid is afraid to talk or intimidated or doesn't know the difference, does this child look that this child has no motivation? Are they very quiet? Are they inappropriate? Do they say inappropriate sexual things, that things they shouldn't know, for example?
Or even like role-playing, like children with dolls and things like that. When you see a child's behavior change and their eyes become like, I always say the dead inside, they look dead inside, like where's that spark? The child becomes withdrawn. These are all different signs. And even for myself, it was about... I was always in a cloud. I walked around like with a fishbowl on my head, clouded, because I was always trying to remove myself from what was happening. So that's a huge sign when you see a child who's totally like daydreaming and removed.
I mean, and that's even for a young child, but even as a child gets older, there's this stigma that goes around, and there's all these fears that, you know, victims have, that people see it as, you're not going to get believed, you're going to get blamed, people would judge you.
Shame.
Yeah,
you feel shame.
It's your fault.
And you don't even understand.
You're so embarrassed to even say it. Like, it was your fault. Yeah.
Yeah, and as kids grow older into that, teen years, and if it's still happening, it's even more confusing, I feel, at times, because you start to learn that you do know better, that these things are wrong, but you just don't know how to express it and get it out there and fight for yourself. These are things that you have to figure out as you go along, and it's very difficult when you feel alone.
I believe this could go well into young adulthood. And what are some of the suggestions you can give us to overcome these common beliefs? I mean, are we going to turn the tide by more of us coming out and speaking the truth and realizing it's not our fault?
I do believe. I do believe the tide is here now. I believe it's coming. It's happening. Because the more and more we speak about it, other people are gaining the courage and the strength to do the same. When I give a presentation or I do a workshop, people will always come up to me afterwards and share these things with me, these personal things that happened to them, and they're like, this is the first time I've ever said it out loud.
Wow.
And that's profound.
Yes.
But it brings tears to my eyes, because I'm like, oh my goodness, I've touched somebody that deeply that they are able to speak their unspoken truth. And that is the goal and the whole basis of writing my story and getting it out there, because I want other people to feel what I feel, that sense of freedom, that sense of healing, because you have to start by saying the words out loud.
Nice, because you want to share the joy, you want to pay it forward, and that's the beautiful
Absolutely. Thing
about those of us who've suffered. God has a way of turning it into a blessing, and I blame everything bad on the devil. I call him pickpocket, because I don't like to say devil or Satan. So I call him pickpocket, because he steals people's souls. So when I'm about to get angry, or I'm about to get annoyed, or I'm feeling bad and I don't know why, I'm like, pickpocket, I'm on to you. I say a little prayer. It helps. It helps when you don't think it's not your fault. It helps when it's not you that's broken. It helps when it's not you that can't think right or can't do things right.
Right. I tell you, when I feel the same way as you're speaking, when you feel like, you know, all this stuff is happening, and I always say a little prayer myself, and I say, I fear no evil, for God is with me. And that is always giving me strength and support. Those simple words that are not really simple, they're powerful. But, you know, that always encourages me when I'm scared or angry or sad. And I also reach out to my brother had passed away at a young age. We were very close. And I've always felt connected to him spiritually. And I will reach out to him and I talk with him. And it does give me a sense of comfort and it gives me a great deal of strength.
Nice. I'm sorry to hear that. That's very hard. It must have been
it
super hard on you.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry.
It was. I was young. I was 6 and he was 9 and we were best friends. And yes. And you know, when you say God gives gifts, he does give gifts, because even though I lost him, he's always been by my side. I've always felt him. So... That's a beautiful gift to have, even in that sorrow.
And it's a beautiful gift that you recognize it. Not everybody does. God is constantly blessing us, and we don't even know it until we find him and we open up our eyes. And then once we find God, once we're able to see things differently, what's needed to move on, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about unconditional love and forgiveness. Mm-hmm. How do we get there? By having a relationship with God, by praying. The Holy Spirit gives us all kinds of wonderful ideas. Trust me. Everything that's good that comes from us, all our good thoughts, anything knowledgeable that is holy, I think that comes from the Holy Spirit. And not only that, he's always helping us, whether he uses a friend or a post or a song or a moment or a pet making you feel better.
Yeah, I do believe that. I it's interesting because when I think about the word forgiveness, and it's a hard word. Forgiveness is hard, especially when you've been so deeply hurt. And I think for myself, I was able to take my situation and then look at a bigger point of my parents and understanding their sadness and their dysfunction. And I was able to find forgiveness through looking at their perspective.
Wow, nice. And we'll talk some more about that when we get back.
Okay.
All right.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
We're back. Thanks for joining us. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. You can listen to The Cure every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on your radio, or GodIsTheCure.com, or later in a podcast. We are continuing our conversation with Lisa Sarcone on how to overcome difficulties. Lisa, we were going to talk about how to move forward. And I wanted to know, first, let's talk about what are some suggestions for healthy living and what's the best way to adapt to positive coping mechanisms?
That's a really good question. And I always want to say, start from the beginning. When you are starting your healing journey, I always say start at the beginning. Start where it began and then move forward and take things in small sections at a time. If you take things all at once during your healing process, it becomes too overwhelming. And you have a high risk of failure if you take it all in a big chunk. So I always say start from the beginning, take it in small doses, and work through it all piece by piece. And you will find the more that you work through these things, your load gets lighter. You become more positive. And that's a whole other thing, is positivity. I always say to work through negative feelings by switching it with a positive thought. So as you're going through, and there's so many emotions when you go through the healing process. Healing is messy. I mean, bottom line, healing is messy. And you have to take the good with the bad. And when you're having those awful moments that you feel really sad or angry, embrace them. You know, don't run away from them. They're hard, but embrace them and say, okay, I am mad today. I am sad today, but that's okay because I am okay. I'm going to be okay. You have to remind yourself of these things. And, you know, one by one, you make your way through. You're stepping forward. Before you realize it, you've gone from A to Z, and you're like, wow, how did that even happen? You take it in small doses, and you keep pushing forward. And always keep the faith. I'm a firm believer in faith, and I'm a firm believer in spirit, and I do feel that's what fuels us and what lights our fire and what keeps us going. So I encourage people, you know, take it day by day, take it in small doses, and keep pushing forward. And on those bad days, be kind to yourself.
Yes, and don't be too hard on yourself. For example, I get hard on myself for thinking, I don't have enough self-discipline. I haven't been working out. But then I get a little thought in my mind that says, at least you've been doing everything else that's needed. And
it's true. You have to celebrate the good. You have to celebrate your successes, because I'm hard on myself as well. I'm always like, oh, I could have done more. I should have done more. And then I think about, oh, my goodness, I'm tired. Why can't I just sit? We have to remind ourselves that it's okay to sit. It's okay to be. And it's okay to enjoy.
And yes, that's the important thing, not to be hard on ourselves. And when I didn't have God, I had such a negative outlook on life. I did not believe in the future. I thought I was destined to suffer. I thought I was the worst person in the world. I couldn't think of anything I could be grateful for. I thought everyone would be better off without me. And having God in my life, I learned three things. I learned that you have to be grateful for what you have. You have to be grateful for who you are, and you have to be grateful for where you're at. And I'm always learning, and I'm always reading. I'm always reading things to see how I can help others. I know I don't know it all. And one of the things that I found that gives you strength besides prayer is reading spiritual things, reading the Bible, listening to spiritual songs. It's uplifting. And then if you do things that will make you feel better about yourself, like you can work just a little harder, exercise, take care of all your things, your pets, your house, your family, you'd be surprised. Doing for others is very encouraging.
It is very encouraging. And you know, everything that I've been doing with my own personal stuff, like you say, you know, when you're helping someone else along, it makes you feel good. You know, I have my Facebook inspirational page, and we talk about reading things. You know, I post twice a day, and people respond, and they wait for these things because it's helping them to be encouraged. And
nice.
I do post spiritual stuff, and I do post a little bit of everything because I'm reaching out to different people with different needs, and but they're all getting something. And it's a powerful thing to be, you know, kind and compassionate and seeing that people are engaging in a great way. So I'm a big pusher on that with inspiration, because as we read these things, like you said, listen to music that's inspiring, reading the Bible, all these things, they put goodness into your life and into your head. And when you become mentally strong, you can do anything. I believe that anybody can do anything they set their mind to. Mindset is very important, and working
yes.
at that goal every day. And that is a key. You know, it's that positivity that you bring into your life.
Hey, and you know what? Reading the Bible, I heard, is great. I know that it's not for everybody. I know that I have a hard time understanding it. And if anyone feels overwhelmed, there is plenty of Bible apps that puts it very simple for you. I have a Bible app that gives me a daily verse. And not that I'm going to think about picking it up on my own, but the phone reminds me, here's your daily verse. And that could be very helpful. And Lisa, when you talk about posting, you're talking about Facebook, correct?
I am. I'm on social media everywhere, and I always tell people, Google me, you'll find me all over. But yes, I'm talking about Facebook. My inspirational page is on Facebook, and I post. I have two pages, my personal and my inspirational one, and I post daily. And I post, you know, wonderful things and encouraging things, and I post my poetry. And I share stuff about what's going on in my world with my book and the things that I'm doing. My work with NASCA. NASCA, the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. I'm the Massachusetts National Ambassador, and through that work, I'm helping people as well. So my pages, and I am on Instagram and Twitter. I'm all over the place, and my website, lisazarcone.net. But everything is geared that I do towards helping other people to get to the next stages of healing and feeling good about themselves and encouraging them to keep moving, because that is the key. Keep moving. Always move forward. That is a very key sentence right there. Always move forward. Because once you do that, you do find goodness, and you're living. You're not just, you know, existing. You're living, and that's important.
Yes, and Lisa, from what I read, from what you write, and the things that you've written, which are very helpful and very inspirational, I realize that you are a great example of unconditional love. And that's something that you talk about in your writings.
Yes, unconditional love. I mean, you know, if someone, you know, knows my story, and my story is brutal. And, you know, we lost my brother, and I was young. My parents, their marriage fell apart. There was abuse. My mom was mentally ill. There was a lot that went on. My dad left. So there was many key components in my scenario. And then somebody else comes in who becomes the sexual abuser to me. And I felt alone and lost. But I always had that key love for my parents. And I wanted them in my life. And I think that was another reason I was able to forgive what happened to me. Because I had that unconditional love. Because of family. I wanted my family. And I was able to get there. And it was hard. It wasn't like one day I woke up and I'm like, oh, I've forgiven the world. No, it was a very hard process. A lot of tears, a lot of writing. I'm a big writer, so a lot of writing, a lot of talking. And that's a good one right there. You got to talk about it. You got to break that silence. You have to say the words. You got to talk.
Well, unconditional love is when you're there for that friend that's not really nice, that you really don't care about. Unconditional love is like, because it's easy to help those that are kind to you. It's difficult to help the bomb that you think it's using it, that you are quick to judge. And but God said give and give generously and not to judge. And that's what unconditional love is. You don't judge.
It is. And it's hard. You know, judgment is a big word, and it's hard not to judge. Like, even in my own scenario, my mom was very mean. My mom was abusive, but I always stood by my mom's side. When you talk about unconditional love, when she was not being nice to me, I was still doing whatever I could to help her because of love and respect and unconditional love. That's really what it comes down to. I loved my mother. I didn't love the illness, but I loved her. So I was going to do whatever it took to help her. But it was very hard. It was hard being my mother's daughter. But I go back to faith, and like you say, unconditional love is what saw me through and always made me realize I needed to do this. It was the right thing to do, and it was a good thing to do.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. And speaking about mothers, I have my own little story. I did 23andMe, and I discovered an aunt that I had, which is, she's pretty spiritual. So she knows I haven't spoken or seen my mother since I was 18 years old. And she convinced me to reach out to her. And so on my birthday, I sent her flowers, said thank you for giving me birth. And that's how I knew that I was able to forgive her and that I loved her unconditionally. And I also wrote her and I emailed her something very nice, and I will not repeat the response. It's too ugly to repeat. But it reminds me that she's still emotionally abusive. But what my Aunt Josie told me is that you're not doing this for you. You're doing this for yourself. And I understand where she's coming from. We're coming up on break, but I want to talk about forgiveness and what it really means. And what it really means to forgive. Because we so easily say it. Do we act upon it? When we are back, we'll continue talking with Lisa on how to take care of ourselves after trauma.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
We are back. Thanks for joining us. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. And today I'm with Boris Nikolov and Lisa Sarcone. I see that we have two callers calling in, and I will get to them in a second. We are talking right now about forgiveness. What is it to really forgive? And it's easy to say you've forgiven. It's very easy. But when I found myself in trial, when the trial of the roommate that almost killed my daughter, and I saw the father that made it miserably bad when she was ill, and took me to court for 14 years, I can feel the tension. I can feel it. And I know that they were avoiding me. And I thought, well, maybe I won't say hi either. But, you know, I stopped myself and I said, wait a second. If I forgive them, then I should treat them like I treat everyone else. And I decided I'm going to be kind to everyone regardless. Nobody's going to change who I am. And if I forgive, I have to really act upon it. And that's another reason why I reached out to my mother.
Yes, I can understand why you reached out to your mom and forgiving, you know, your mom and forgiving the situation. You're healing yourself every time you do that. And it's, again, hard to forgive, but when we get there, it's just such a beautiful feeling. And, you know, lead by example. What a great phrase, because we do. The more that we show people compassion and kindness, our hope is that other people will want to be this, you know, want to do the same and feel the same. And all we can do is encourage others, you know, to be mindful and to be kind.
Right. Let's take Paula's call. Let's see what she might add. Hi, Paula. You're on The Cure.
Yes. Hello. I've moved beyond. I mean, not. This isn't about forgiveness. I heard the lady talking about her life, and what do you do if you suspect you have a now grown child that might most likely have been molested and don't know, and he claims that he doesn't remember much of his childhood. That was like one of the clues that set me off, like, why do you not remember any of your childhood? And then when she started listing the symptoms, he had every single one of them by the time he was like 14 or 15. And I'm sorry, my gut's just wrenching now because my son's 30 and he's doing things to damage himself, and and he can't seem to get through the depression, and now thinks that he'd be better off being a woman, which is another classic sign.
I mean, it has with forgiveness. You know, it's very easy for people to say, "Oh, well, die." I don't know what it's like to be in those shoes, and I wouldn't want to be in those shoes. I really feel for you. Because a lot of people can say, oh, I'll die for Jesus, or I'll die for my faith. But when you're in that moment, will you really do it? So it's very difficult. I could say, if it happened to me, I'd do the right thing. And I'm almost 100% sure. But I don't know. That's why I couldn't even judge my mother. So what do you do with this child? You show this child love. You show him unconditional love. You let this child know you're there for him or her, and that you're willing to listen to him or her. And if this child wants, is finding his or her identity, accept it. And let them know that you love them no matter what. And believe
them. I would also,
them.
If I can jump in the middle of that, I just wanted to share, because now he's an adult and he's still holding on to that silence, I encourage that he get somebody that he trusts to speak to and start talking about it. And he doesn't remember, because when someone is traumatized so deeply, sometimes they block it out, and it's blocked out for years, and it seeps out in other ways. And mm-hmm. it is seeping out in other ways for him. Mm-hmm. And the best way he can heal is by start working through it. And also, I'm going to mention NASCA.org, and I would suggest to get on there and look at some things, because our organization is for this exact reason, to help survivors of abuse come to terms, and we you know, we support, and you know, it goes back to love and healing and forgiveness, but also the first steps goes back to remembering, talking about it, and understanding what happened.
Sure, and if you can't bring him to therapy, that would be great, but for whatever reason you can't bring him, there's wonderful support groups, because you wouldn't believe what it does to be able to hear from others that are in a similar situation and that have made it. It's so inspirational, especially, I know they have support groups for everything. I've seen it on Facebook, and sometimes it's helpful to talk or hear it from someone else that knows exactly yes. what you're going through.
You're right, and then you know you're not alone, and that is huge. And there are support groups all over, and you know, getting online and looking at certain things and being able to talk to people. There's numbers to call if you just need to, you know, some type of support. But again, I will go back to our organization, because I'm really believe in what we do, and we really do help so many people. And NASCA.org, what a great outlet to help somebody who's mm-hmm. struggling.
Yes, NASCA is an unbelievable site. They even have a blog, radio, and they're always helping people. And it's just a wonderful organization. It really is. I know that. Yes, go ahead.
I'm very proud to be a part of it. It's you know, because it comes from, you know, the understanding. We've all been through something, and we understand one another, and we're always looking to help somebody else to get there. And you know, and in your own hometown, look for support groups, you know, the churches, libraries, they all have them. You just have to, you know, search a little bit for them, and definitely, you know, get him the support he needs, because he does need to get it out so he can finally, you know, get on that healing path.
But you're doing good. You've gotten the first step. You know, he came to you, and he came to you about this, and it doesn't matter what he thinks or how he sees it, or whether you think you're right or not, it's his perception that's important. So this is the first step.
And as a parent, it's heartbreaking to know that your child has gone through this. And I say that to you with wholeheartedly. Like, I will pray for you and your son, and I hope you can find your road to healing together.
Yes. And it really is important for us to be there for one another, because if you don't have the faith, if you don't believe in God, then what do you do? If you're miserable and you're depressed and you don't know how to get out, then what do you do? Well, you know what happens? Sooner or later, God puts someone in your path that will help you, that will talk to you, that will lead you the right way. And it's up to us whether we want to continue suffering, continue in a dark place, not move forward, or we get to a point where we say, enough is enough. I don't want to hurt anymore. I wasn't destined to suffer. I'm better than this. You know why? Because God loves me. And I know that God loves me because my family is evidence of that. God loves us all very, very much. So it doesn't matter where you've come from, how hard your life has been, what country you've come from, or what you've suffered. God is there for everyone, for all the sinners, for all who have suffered. And that's the hope. That's the hope that there is. And all you have to do is have faith. I gain mine with prayer. Lisa, what is it that you do? First thing in the morning, I wanted to know, do you pray as well?
I do. I pray every morning. I start my day, and I do say some small prayers. And even throughout the day, you know, if I find that I'm, you know, maybe struggling with something or feeling stressed, I take those moments just to sit and be and just try to feel, you know, some good energy. And I do say my prayers, and I always ask God to protect us and to guide us. And I always ask Him. I always say, God, please keep us on the path closest to You. And I pray for my family and my friends, and I pray for strangers or people out there who are suffering and people I connect with, because it is important. And, you know, I know He hears me, and I get signs all the time, and I'm always grateful for each and every sign. And I encourage other people to look for your signs, because they are there. And a lot of times we miss them because our world is so crazy and busy and distressed and all of it. But, yes, take those moments and look for your signs along the way, because that's what guides us.
And God is always helping us. For example, in the rosary prayer that I pray, besides the music, the soothing music, it says, it gives you little advices. And one of the things that it says, set your heart, don't set your heart on the things of this earth, but set your heart on the things of heaven. And when I'm a little worried or I'm a little stressed, I just think of God. I think of the bigger picture. And the more you think about Him throughout the day, I believe the better. But it puts things into perspective. It makes me realize how minuscule our problems are.
And it's true. And at the end of the day, I light my candle. I have a religious candle, and I light it. And it doesn't have to be a religious candle. I just choose to use that. But anybody can do this. And because we all believe a little bit differently, but, you know, about that spirituality and faith. And I light my candle, and I say my prayers at the end of the day. And it just connects me in just that moment of quiet. And it kind of brings me down, and it, you know, it grounds me. And it's such a beautiful feeling to have. And I always encourage people to do that. Light a candle, just sit, talk to yourself, just be, say your prayers if that's what you want to do. Just feel that energy.
And it's not always easy, trust me. It sounds easy, but it's not always easy. You have to constantly be on your feet. Because for me, it's a daily thing. I can't guarantee you I'll feel okay all day long. Oh, yes, pickpocket picks on me. So,
I just wanted to say again, the name of the organization is called NAASCA, NASCA.org, for Paola that just called in. Thank you.
Yes, if she wants to connect there, that would be a great place to go. And my information's on there under the ambassador page. Lisa Zarcone from Massachusetts. If you want to reach out to me, my information is there. We're all always available. You can find someone from your own state, or, you know, just get on the website and read things. It's very wonderful tools there for help.
Lisa, you've been amazing. We've come to the end of the show again. Thank you so much for being with us. For more information, thank you. For more information on Lisa Zarcone, she can be found on God is the Cure under Guests. Lisa, this has been a pleasure. Thank you.
This has
so
been
much.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And God bless
you. And we keep going on our journey.
We're all in it together. Thank God.
Thank God.
This is Amy Cabell. You've been listening to The Cure. And have a great weekend, everyone. Remember, always keep God in mind. He's there. He's always with us. We're there for you. We want to be there for you. And you'd be surprised how you can be there for others.
GodIsTheCure.com.